Hello, everyone. It's Bo Bonner, your Faith Formation Director, and we're starting round two of our Lectio Divina Journal series, this time the Acts of the Apostles. And so we're going to do two more podcasts trying to help you center yourself, understanding what exactly we mean when we talk about the Lectio Divina approach to Scripture. And so with me today, I have Joshua Bidding, who's been a parishioner at Blessed Sacrament for about a year, but then he works downtown with the Faith Formation Office. He has a really long title, but he has even more responsibilities. So Joshua, I want to say thank you for doing this with me today.
Thanks, Bo. Thanks for having me.
So there's all sorts of things that we can talk about, and you've presented pretty much on this idea before, under the title of talking particularly how the saints not only read Scripture, but also pray the Scriptures. So to start off with, let's talk about this idea. I'm really interested in pointing out that Lectio Divina is not some new fad, even though it might be more popular than it maybe was 10 years ago, but that this is a long-established way that the Church looked at reading Scripture. So if you don't mind, if you can introduce us to this idea of the saints and how they read Scripture.
Yeah, so I guess the first thing that I would say is that for the saints, the way that they would approach Scripture is within the context of the liturgy. And many of the early saints, the early fathers of the Church, in writing about theology, their commentaries are really commentaries on sacred Scripture. For them, study of sacred Scripture was really inseparable from their own spiritual life and their own intimacy with Christ. So they wouldn't put up an artificial division between, on the one hand, you know, the study of sacred Scripture and coming to understand what it means, and then on the other hand, their intimacy with Christ. The two were really tightly interwoven. So, for example, St. Athanasius, in his Life of St. Anthony, recounts St. Anthony coming into liturgy and hearing the story of the rich young man who was challenged by Christ to give up all and to follow him, to be perfect. And that was received by St. Anthony as if Christ was speaking those words to him in that very moment. And it was actualized in his own life so that it actually spurred him on to get rid of all of his possessions, to leave everything behind, and then to live a life of solitude and intimacy with Christ. So, you know, for the saints, sacred Scripture, as it was especially proclaimed in the liturgy, but in their own prayer, was very much tightly interwoven with their own intimacy with Christ.
I think just alighting on the name saint and the name sacred Scripture, you know, naming things sort of categorize them for us. And so if we think about the Bible or biblical studies, there's all these really minute ways where we start to make studying the Bible, like you said, different than a spiritual engagement with it. But, you know, the word saint is linguistically similar to sacred, right? Sacred mm-hmm. Scripture. A saint is someone who is becoming sacred or has become sacred. And so if we want to talk about a saintly approach to the Bible, it's a sacred approach to the Bible, which doesn't necessarily mean we lock it up in study or that we act like it's somehow distant from us, but just like the liturgy is supposed to really invade every aspect of our life, this is what the saints were doing with the Scriptures.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I just wanted to quote here a passage from the Second Vatican Council's document on divine revelation, which really beautifully highlights the fact that the Church has always had this respect and veneration for sacred Scripture. And it says in Dei Verbum, "The Church has always venerated the divine Scriptures just as she venerates the body of the Lord, since especially in the sacred liturgy, she unceasingly receives and offers to the faithful the bread of life from the table both of God's Word and of Christ's body." And so, you know, saints like St. Jerome talk about a sort of real presence that is in an analogous way to the Eucharist, that when we hear the Word of God proclaimed, that it's an encounter that we have with Christ. And that intimate encounter with Christ is really one of the main ways that he reaches us, that he meets us where we're at. Just as we come into an encounter with him in the Eucharist, so also when we reflect on sacred scripture, when we prayerfully read it, we have an opening for an intimate encounter with him.
And I think to further the analogy between the presence in scripture and the presence in the Eucharist, there's reasons that we go to all sorts of technical and theological lengths to talk about both the sacred scripture and the sacrament, but those aren't synonymous with the type of knowledge and understanding that an intimacy with our Lord in both of those things. So you don't have to be technically Thomas Aquinas to really gain vast amounts of wisdom from adoration.
Right.
In the same way, you don't need to be Saint Jerome or Pope Benedict XVI as far as technical knowledge about the scripture in order to have an intimate encounter with them as well.
Yeah, absolutely, Bo. And, you know, Pope Saint Gregory the Great had this great line that the scriptures grow with the one who reads them. So wherever we're at, even if we're just beginning, we can step into sacred scripture and God can reach us and speak to us through that. And then as we grow deeper in our knowledge and love of sacred scripture, so also our knowledge and our love and our intimacy with Christ grows. And that's a journey of a lifetime and actually a journey that leads even into eternity. And that's one of the things that all of the saints have really highlighted, this growth and intimacy with Christ through sacred scripture. They even say that when we read the sacred scriptures, Christ speaks to us, and when we pray, we speak with him. So there's a real dialogue that's happening, or that should be happening, as we encounter Christ in sacred scripture, so that we're listening to him, but then we're also responding as well.
I think one way you can notice this is if you ever read, comes to my mind, St. Augustine or St. Thomas Aquinas, and you get a modern annotated edition where they put a footnote every time they reference some other work, you can get the impression that Augustine and Thomas Aquinas were stopping every 5 seconds to look up a Bible verse to really back up their argument. But what you come to realize is they weren't doing that. They knew Scripture so well, it had leached so much into their souls, that they quoted Scripture almost unthinkingly. That if they were making a discussion or a point, they would end their sentences with this psalm or this proverb or this word of Jesus. And I mean, sometimes they were obviously making very considered, we're considering this verse and this is what we're talking about. But half the time, it's like they couldn't help themselves because Scripture was so imbued in their hearts, and also the natural sort of, like you said, conversation partner for whatever they might be talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think talking about St. Thomas Aquinas, he said that the greatest knowledge is that by way of connaturality. That is, that we conform our lives to the reality that we're pondering. So I think that's what makes the saints such great interpreters of Scripture, because they not only heard the Word of God, but they responded to the Word of God and let the Word of God imbue them. You know, it's really amazing when you read some of the early fathers of the church, and I really recommend doing that. You know, St. Augustine is great, St. Gregory of Nyssa. But one of the things that just kind of bowls you over is just the sheer allusions and scriptural quotations. It's almost as if most of the words are not from their mouth, but they're just straight from sacred scripture. And they have this way of synthesizing and putting together scripture passages from many different parts of the Bible into a coherent whole, because that biblical worldview has really transformed the way they think and the way they express themselves.
And just so that people listening don't think that this is something that God has only reserved for the saints, but something that we honestly can emulate in our own small ways, our culture has already done this, so that when we talk about temptation, we'll say things like, don't eat the apple. Well, why do we do that? Because everyone, even the most sluggish, not paying attention to sort of person in mass or their catechism classes, knows about the snake, the temptation, Adam and Eve. So we already have these sort of deep set illusions that even the least initiated of us already do. The saints are just an example of like you said, growing in that connaturality. Become connatural means to be like the thing that you emulate. And you know, again, another grandma's adage, you know, you are what you do repeatedly. And when people look at the saints and go, well, how can I ever become like that? Well, you just, that's what you have to do. If you read repeatedly and listen repeatedly, you and your vision starts to conform to those realities.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, it can be a little bit staggering to think of the saints and their command of sacred scripture. But they started out just like you and I. I mean, they started out at the beginning, and they made a priority in their life that they would take time every day to read and meditate on sacred scripture. And instead of setting up this kind of false separation between Bible study on the one hand, academic Bible study, and then spirituality or devotional reading on the other hand, the two were really synonymous for them. So the more they understood about Christ, the more they could love him. And the greater they loved him, the more they wanted to know about him. And it was this continual, ongoing deepening of this loving knowledge of Christ that spurred them on to grow in their knowledge and love of sacred scripture.